Worship you in song and in praise and in prayer and with the bell choir. And we pray, Lord, that that was pleasing in your sight and in your ears. It was for us. Lord, we ask that you open our hearts and our ears this day to hear this message that you have for us. This message that reminds us of why you came to this place, why you have come to us. Oh Lord, bless us with these words. Bless us with your presence. All this we ask in your holy and precious name. Amen. Good morning. Jesus said, "Let us go, that I may proclaim the message, for that is what I came out to do. That is why I have come." This is a loving statement. It is also a call. But at the same time, this call to join him on a journey is also a demand. The message he is proclaiming is that the kingdom of God has come near with a cost and a promise. The cost is our repentance to him. The promise is his presence with us and the promise of eternal life. His presence will be with us then and now into our lives and remains present and active today. Now, our reading for this morning, this short time frame depicted in the gospel reading, is actually a very small sketch of the entire ministry of Jesus. Today is a sample, today is an example of what Jesus did here on this earth. After Jesus leaves the time of worship in the synagogue at Capernaum, he's not done for the day, no. He enters a private home and he heals Simon's mother-in-law. Okay, so he leads worship in the synagogue, he preaches, he teaches, he heals, he did all that he did in the synagogue, and then he went to Simon's home, went to a private home and healed Simon's mother-in-law. Okay, well then he's done, right? No. Once the Sabbath is over on Saturday at sundown, because Saturday was Sabbath day for them, the whole city, somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 people in Capernaum at the time, it says the whole city appears at the door of Simon's house and Jesus heals in public. Okay, well, that sounds like Jesus. And if we thought he was done with worship in the morning, he wasn't. If we thought he was done with healing of Simon's mother-in-law, he wasn't. He still had lots more to do. The next morning, before dawn, Jesus retreats to the wilderness for prayer. I could see that. Some alone time. I can understand that he would need that to be close to his Father, to perhaps get rejuvenated, to perhaps get an idea of what's next. Yeah? Okay. So he goes into the wilderness for some alone time. Yeah, okay. But Simon and others pursue him. They pursue him. They don't just say, maybe we should go find out where Jesus is at. No. They pursue him. They couldn't give him a little time to be alone, could they? No. In response to their invasion, is what I call it, Jesus says, okay, let's go on to the next house. Now, I'm not sure I would say that. I might say, give me 5 more minutes. Give me another hour. Give me 10 more minutes to be in relation with my Father. But that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. Okay, let's go on to the next hunt. Yes. All right, it's time. I've spent enough alone time. Let's move on. So that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do. That is why I have come. Yeah. The grace of God is being shown in the ministry of Jesus. The grace of God is being shown in the ministry of Jesus. The image of grace shown here is detailed and very concise. Jesus leaves the symbolic center of worship, the synagogue, to confront the forces that rule our lives, which is referred to as demons. He restores wholeness by casting out the demons, but he does not permit the demons, here we go, he does not permit the demons to speak because they know him. Then he goes deeper into the wilderness and the disciples, and we search for him as the disciples did, because we know how important it is to be with Jesus. Now, much of Scripture is looked at as poetry. Now, you may not look at it as poetry, but particular parts of the Bible, like the Psalms, very poetic, and other parts of the Bible as well. There are times, though, when people struggle with the poetic aspects of Jesus' ministry. For example, even those times of miracles that Jesus performs, that, for some, is problematic. And I say that because, unfortunately, too many people today do not believe in miracles anymore. They can't get themselves to take that one step more of faith and believe. There's always some other rationale, you know? But Jesus truly changed people's lives. We've seen that. And not only in Scripture, we've seen it in our own lives, haven't we? Jesus has changed people's lives. We've perhaps been witness to healings. We perhaps have been witness to people who were living one way, one day, found Jesus and completely changed their way of life for him and for themselves the next day. We've seen that. Guess what, my friends? Those are miracles. Amen. They're happening today. They're happening today. It's a miracle. We've seen it. You know, as adults, we have accumulated layers of wisdom and degrees of expertise about the world that we live in. At least we think we have. We don't know everything. We're human. How can we? For some of us, it's hard to admit that a vision of goodness, of joy, of love that is beyond our humanness actually exists. There's that part that's problematic again. But you know, it's when there's that faith that steps in and we remember God's grace, God's love, and God's story. That's when we are open to those miracles once again, and that is when we remember that because of that and because of God, life is good. Life is good. So we seek God, but sometimes our motives, if you will, are somewhat mixed. Jesus' answer to our seeking and mixed motives is pivotal. His response turns our motives around to consider his. For example, I came out of the wilderness to proclaim a message. He could have stayed in the wilderness, but he didn't. He came out of the wilderness to proclaim a message. He says, where the kingdom comes is where I preach. Where the kingdom is, Jesus preaches. Wholeness will be the result by Jesus' words. In other words, Jesus, well, he continues to confront the powers that dominate and oppress back then and now, and through his words and through his deeds, through his very being, he makes God's kingdom a reality for the people back then, for the people today. By his words, by his actions, by his very being, he makes God's kingdom a reality for us all, and not simply something into the future that we can't see or feel or understand, but it's here right now. Jesus is with us. His kingdom is here. He is here with us today. Now, there have been countless seekers searching for Jesus and his message, countless numbers of people who have tried to determine what it was about Jesus that caused people to accept who he was, to accept his words. At the very least, he is a man recognized by all the world's major religions, at least and I cannot deny the fact that we have the words of Jesus only as the disciples remembered them. But whoever thinks that the disciples completely misunderstood Jesus, or worse, gave a false picture of who Jesus actually was, well, they're way off, in my opinion. If we believe that the reports of the disciples are false versus what is actually written in biblical record, which is what we do believe, how are we to discover the truth about God then and now, known as human and divine, if we think that what is written is false? Well, we don't think that. We turn to the Bible to know, to understand, to believe in Jesus and who and what Jesus is for us. The truth is that you and I fully know and fully understand only a fraction, though, of the reality of God and why. I've told you this before. We're human. Yeah, we don't know and fully understand everything. We only know and understand a fraction. We hold on to that fraction that has come to us in Scripture because we believe that Scripture acts as that go-between between us and God. That Jesus actually places himself in the words of Scripture, and so Jesus is that middleman between us and God as well. Authority and power, again, resides in the person of God in Jesus and not in a book. Authority and power resides in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus is what Jesus does. He lives out the message he proclaims and asks us, invites us, perhaps even demands us to do the same. From the very beginning of Christianity to the present, there has been one constant among all the variations of the religion of Christianity. And that constant is that in order to be a Christian, one must be baptized. We are baptized into the life and the death of Christ. Like Jesus, we go down into the water and rise transformed. Now, we may not do immersion baptisms, but symbolically it's the same. We are blessed, we are cleansed, we are anointed by the water, and we rise transformed. Our rising to life again from baptism is our transformation into a new relationship. It's a relationship of I and thou, ourselves and God. It's a relationship with a living being in whom we believe. We are Christians. Our religion is dedicated to transformation, to wholeness, to living in the kingdom of God now. Now. Not something down the road, not something that we can't see or touch or anything like that. It's now. It's here and now. God in Jesus comes to us saying, I am transformed. I am resurrection. I am life. That is the message he brings, the message he lives out. And he gives himself to us. So, my friends, I ask a simple task of you today. I ask that you hold in your memory the miracles of Jesus. The baptism, your baptism in Jesus. Let us remember why he has come. Those memories lift us beyond ourselves to the edge of his awareness. His awareness. In those memories and moments, we briefly encounter encounter something, something we know to be true. A sacred, fuller, enhanced existence that will complete us. And not only that, but we experience that existence with God in His presence and in His common kingdom. His kingdom, which is here and forevermore. Let us pray. Holy Lord, you remind us why you have come. To love and to bless, to heal and to forgive all of us, and to remind us that your kingdom is not only to come, but it is here right now. Oh Lord, as you call us to live in your kingdom, as you call us to once again fully believe in you, as you call us to love each other, we ask, Lord, that you set us free from those things that hold us back from you. Those things like complacency and contentment with the status quo. Lord, we ask that you give us that abundant life which you have shown us in Jesus, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you, precious God, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As we are reminded,